Begin the current daf Masechta Ksubas daf Membeis. Begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins. The Gemara explaining the Mishnah, which began our Perek, fourth Perek of Masechta Ksubas, Perek Nerish Nispatata. Now the Mishnah opened up with the halacha that there's a difference between Mefata and Oynes. That Mefata has three different payments: that's the Knas, the Busha, and the Begam. And by Oynes, there's another one which is that of Tsar. Now that the Gemara asks, my Kamash Malon, what is our Mishnah teaching us here? Tanina, we already learned the same halacha once before on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah said, "Hamafata nisin shloisha dvarim," by when a man seduces a woman, he has to give three payments. "V'ha'inas arba," and when it's done forcibly, then there's four payments. "Hamafata nisin beishes abegam beknas," the one who seduces gives the embarrassment, the depreciation, and the penalty of the chamishim kasef. "Meisabel of Inas," added that, is one who is ma'anis, "shneisin esetzar," which additionally has to give for the pain. So therefore, we already know this halacha. What is our Mishnah teaching more that we didn't know over there? So that the Gemara says, "Lo via etzrochale." It was necessary to say that, yes, we knew that there are three for Mefata and four for Oynes, but it doesn't say in that previous Mishnah that goes to the father. Our Mishnah is teaching us that those payments all go to the father. On that the Gemara asks, "Lo via nami pshita." The fact that it goes to the father is obvious, and we wouldn't need our Mishnah to teach that. The reason being, and the fact that in the case of the seducer, that he gives the knas, the busha, and the begam, must be it goes to the father, not to her. Why? Because if it went to her, why would mefata give these payments to her? She does it willingly. She's forgiving for it. She agreed to it. So if she agreed to it, it's like someone says, "Tear my clothing, you'll be exempt." Why would it be chayiv? Obviously, it's going to the father, not to her. So again, what's the necessity of our Mishnah? Even if it didn't say in that previous Mishnah, it goes to the father, we would know. And that the Gemara says, you're right. Rather, amda bedin, regarding the halacha of if there was the court case, then the father died, istruchale, that was the necessity of teaching our Mishnah, which was to tell us, plukad Reb Shimon Rabbanan, to teach us the machlekes between Reb Shimon Rabbanan. And again, that was the details of what the Mishnah then went further on and said that although, yes, we know it goes to the father, question is, what's the halacha if there was a court case, but they didn't collect yet the money from the ma'anas or the mafata, and in the interim, the father died, does it go to her brothers, because the father already merited it, and therefore the children, his sons, inherit it, or is it that she gets it, as Reb Shimon said, because it's only from when the actual giving of the money that the father acquires it, and therefore, even if after the court case, the father dies, it's not money yet to inherit, and therefore she would get it. So that was the necessity, right? Regarding the actual halacha, or that it goes to the father, that we already know, it was to teach us this particular of the halacha regarding of after Hamad Abedin, before the Gevia, that the father died, about who gets it, if she or her brother. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara of Machlokes Reb Shimon and Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Snan Hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masech, the Shuas as follows. The Mishnah there says, if someone says to another man, "Anasta upasita esbiti," you violated or you seduced my daughter. V'oimer, lo anasti v'lo upasiti. He says, what are you talking about? I didn't violate her. I didn't seduce her. So the father of the suspected girl says, "Mashpiachani, I want you to swear to me, take an oath that you didn't do this." V'amar amen, he says, he answers yes. In other words, that's a form of taking a shvu when someone says, "Mashpiachani," and he answers amen to that. It's as if he took an oath. Subsequently, he actually ended up admitting that he really was ma'anis or mafata, the girl, that he already swore falsely that he didn't. So on that, the Tanna Kama says chayiv. So he's liable for the keren, which is the principle of the money that he denied, which was being ma'anis or mafata, which is the chamishim kasev and all the different monies involved. Then he's also liable for the chamish, which is a fifth, which is a penalty for someone that lied about money that he really owed, and he took an oath in it. Moreover, there's a third one, which is a carbon asham, because that's what's called of asham gizelis, where if someone denies money that he owes, and then later, and takes an oath, and then later admits, he's liable for asham gizelis. So Tanna Kama says, this case, the person would be liable for all these three things. Reb Shimon Peiter. Reb Shimon says, the person is going to be exempt. Now the reason being is, she'ein misham k'nas al pi'atzmai, because a person cannot pay for a penalty based on his own admission. It has to be based on the testimony of witnesses. Now, since in this case, when the father of the girl came with the claim saying that you violated my daughter, if he would have said you're right, he would have been exempt because it would have been out of his own admission. The father's claim itself doesn't make him liable. He would have to have witnesses. So therefore, Reb Shimon holds, even when he denies and takes an oath, this is not an oath of called kfiras mamon. It's not a liability for the Karban Shvuah because Karban Shvuah is only on kfiras mamon, Hashem Gezelis. Now he doesn't owe money, it's a penalty. A penalty is not considered mamon. And therefore, even if he denied and he swore an oath, when he ultimately admits, he's not chayav in the Karban Shvuah because it's a kanas, not mamon. Now Amar Lo, so however the Chacham said back to Reb Shimon, no, Ava Pisha'in Misham Knas Api Atzmai, even though he doesn't pay a knas based on himself, and therefore you want to say that even when he swears falsely, it's not mammon to be chayav karban shvuah, Av Mishalom Ba'ishtes Ubegam Api Atzmai. However, the person, out of his own admission, does pay for the embarrassment of the girl that he violated and for the depreciation that he does pay on his own admission. Hence, part of this claim that the father is making to this suspected violator, besides the knas, is also Ba'ishtes Ubegam, which are mammon. So it comes out when he denies that father's claim and even swears on it, he's denying money. And if you're denying money, you're chayav karban shvuah on that. Now later on, the Gemara will explain the reason of the Rabbanan is because they hold, when a person makes a blanket statement to another man, anasta, you violated my daughter, the only thing he's claimed from him, the primary claim, is the beit shesabagam. And therefore, when this person is swearing, it's not on the denial of the knas, because yes, that would be correct. Well, like Reb Shimon is saying, you can't be chayav karban shvuah on a knas. However, that the Chacham say the primary claim is on the beishes and the begam, which is mammon, and therefore if he's swearing falsely on that, that's mammon which you are chayav karban shvuah for. So that is the Mishnah Masechta Shvuos. Now that boyim in the Abaye Merabba. Abaye asked from Rabba, who Rashi says Rabba Bar Nachmeni, who was the teacher of Abaye, he asked him the following question. Ha'omer l'chaveiroi, anasto besita esbiti. If someone tells his friend, you violated, you seduced my daughter. And more than that, and this is where the case gets even more layers. V'hamadaticha b'din. Not only did you do this to my daughter, I actually took you to court. Moreover, v'nischayavta li mammon. And they said that they incriminated you, and they said that you have to pay me the money. And therefore pay me the money that even court said that you have to give me. V'oimer, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Lo yanasti v'lo besiti. I didn't violate your daughter, I didn't seduce her. You never took me to court. And I wasn't liable to you money. And moreover, he even took an oath. Then he ended up admitting. He says, you're right. Whatever you said was true. So that Abaye asked from Rabba, L'Reb Shimon Mai, according to Reb Shimon, who we just quoted in this Mishnah Masechta Shvuos, what would the halacha be? As the Gemara explains his question. Kiven de'amad bedin, since in reality, after which he ends up admitting to the whole storyline, that he had already taken him to court. Now, if he would admit to this person's claim, which is coming to him right now, which is that not only did you seduce her, I already had you liable in court once before and pay me up that money, if he would admit, he would pay. Because Bezdin already originally made him liable based on witnesses. He's saying that I already took you once before, a few months ago, now pay me up. And he was denying a friend of Bezdin now the second time around. So if he would have admitted, he would have been chayiv to pay. So therefore, ultimately, he's denying mammon now, money, not knas, because yes, the first time around when he took him, before Edim came, if he would have admitted, he would have been exempt because he could have denied. I mean, in other words, when he's denying, when he's making a shvuah, he's exempt that time because had he admitted, like Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah Masechta Shvuos, he would have been exempt. But not the case over here, when he had already once before took him to court, then made him liable with witnesses. Now it's mammon. Now he has to pay it. If he would admit it, he would actually be chayev. And therefore, now when he's denying it, it is going to be something of mammon, and therefore mechayev al karban shvuah. Therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon, in such a case, you would be chayev al karban shvuah. Adim, or maybe no. Avagav de amad bedin. Even though there was already once a court case. And you're right, if he would admit now to this other, to the woman's father's claim, he would be chayiv. However, in spite of that, with his current denial, he's not going to be chayiv a karban shvuah. The reason is because primarily, the source of this financial obligation is knasava. Ultimately, it's stemming from a knas. and the Torah did not make a liability for a person of a Karban Shavua only on similar to those categories which are written in the Torah, where it says in the Torah Karban Shavua, which is Pekadon, Tzumas Yad, and all the others which are primarily financial obligations. There's a loan, or you owe some a work or money. These are all financial obligations. That's Mammon. But here, although now, yes, it has a status as a Mammon, but we is the root of it. Before Beis Din made the person liable with witnesses, it was a knas, and therefore he's never going to have a carbon shvo on that. That was Abaye's question. So Amalei, so Rabbi answered him, no, ultimately now, once Beis Din incriminates the person, it's already mammon. U'machayev lo carbon shvo, and just like if he would admit it, he would be chayev. And therefore, if he denies it, and then admits it after taking an oath, he'll be chayev, a carbon ashem of a carbon shvo. Now that Esve, Abaye asked to Rabbi's answer from the following b'risa. Reb Shimon Oimer, again, this is the same Reb Shimon that he says, Yachal, you would think that if someone tells his friend, you violated or you seduced my daughter, now, Vahu Oimer, and the guy says, Lo yanasti v'lo besita. It's not true. I never did what you said. I didn't violate, didn't seduce your daughter. Or let's say a different type of a case, where someone tells his friend, Hey, Mishurches Avdi, your ox gored my slave. Voimer lo hamis, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. My ox never did that, never killed your slave. Or again, a similar case, which again, these are all cases of knas, of things that are not mammon, but rather their liabilities of knas, like the killing the slave is 30 shkolim, and so too by the case of oinus mefata. Or a person's own slave tells him, you knocked out my tooth, you blinded my eye, which that's also a case of knas. And as Rashi explains the logic behind that, because the person owns his slave, it's like one of his donkeys. He doesn't have to pay back to his donkey anything when he damages it. And therefore, although the Torah says that he goes free, that's really a knas. Voimer, but the master says, I'm already told about, lo hipalti, v'lo semisi, I didn't knock out your tooth, I didn't blind your eye. V'nishba v'hoida, in all these cases, the one who is defendant swears that he never did this. V'hoida, and then he admits that you're right, it's true, I really do owe you this knas. So Rabbi Shimon says, yachol yechayev. You would think that such a person would be chayev in such a case of karban shvua because they swore falsely on an oath and then admitted. Tamalei mebes. Rabbi Shimon brings from the pasuk of Yikra that says, that which this is the source for the halach of a karban shvua. It says v'chichish ba'misa, that a person, if he denies the claim of his friend, either b'pikadin regarding a deposit, oy b'tzumas yad regarding a loan, oy b'gezel or regarding theft, oy ashakas amisu, or if he's holding back the payment that he has for a hired worker, oy matzavedo, or if he found a lost object, v'chichish ba, and he denies it to his friend, v'nishba al sheka, and he swears falsely. So that's what the Torah says. So in such a case, you're going to be chayiv for the keren, and you chayiv a chaymish, and primarily what we're saying over here is you chayiv a karban shvua. Now that Reb Shimon says, so I could prove to you from the common characteristic of all those cases that the pasuk speaks about, that ma elum yuchad nshei mammon, what is distinct about all these cases? That primarily the cause of obligation is a monetary financial obligation that is from din. Av kol shein mammon, so we could compare it to all cases for chayiv a karban shvua, and you swear falsely on an oath, that it has to be a monetary halacha. Yatzu elu shein knas. So Reb Shimon says, but that excludes all the other cases of oinus mefate and killing an eved, or an eved saying that you knocked on my tooth, which all of those are liabilities of knas. Where there, if a person swore falsely, then admits he's not going to be chayiv a karban shvua. That's Reb Shimon says. Now that Abaye continues, and we continue on with Beis, concludes the question. My lav bish amad bedin. Doesn't it sound like from the stima of Reb Shimon that is even talking about that there was once this court case once before? In other words, in a certain Beis Din, witnesses came in that Beis Din and they testified that this is what happened, that the ox gored the slave, or that this master knocked out this slave's tooth. Now this slave or this other person is coming and claiming what he's saying that the original Beis Din had already made you liable for. Now, again, a few months later, this person has the audacity to deny the whole thing. Not only didn't I do it, the whole court case didn't happen. And yet, in spite of that, Reb Shimon is saying that the person who was nishba al-sheker and then admits is going to be exempt because ultimately he's saying that its source is not mammon. That is not like the way Rabbah answered to Abaye, because that was exactly Abaye's question. Regarding something that was originally knas, then morphs into mammon because there was hamada bedin, and then a second time where the guy claims, and then he denies. So Rabbah said, no, ultimately it's mammon, so he's going to be chayav a karban shvuah. But now Rabbi is asking, from this brisa, doesn't it sound like that in all cases, if the source wasn't mammon, that then you're not going to be chayav a karban shvuah? And that Rabbah answers, no. It's talking about that there was never yet a first court case. Witnesses never testified regarding this person that, let's say, his ox scored that person's slave or that he knocked out his slave's tooth. Hence, it's a knas. And that's what Reb Shimon means to say that will be excluded from the pasuk of being chayav the carbon shvua. But if it was already that they already once had a hamada bedin, already had a court case, and then he's denying it for a second time, that's already mammon, and then actually he would be chayav the carbon shvua. But on that, the Gemara asks, but Bahamid Resha, but from the Resha of that Brisa, which Rashi explains, Resha just means to say, the opinion of the Rabbanan, who argue on Reb Shimon, they're just mentioned first, so they're called the Resha. They say, actually, that you are going to be chayav a karban shvua. It's Reb Shimon who says that, no, you're going to be exempt from a karban shvua. Now, from the fact that the Rabbanan are talking about Bish'amad Bedin, where there was already once a court case, so you can infer that Seifa Nami, that then the Seifa also, which again is just a reference for Reb Shimon, who he's coming to argue on the Rabbanan, that he must be talking about the same type of a case, which is Bish'amad Bedin, that there already was a court case. Now, if that's the case, then the Abaye's question comes back and says, if it's already Amad Bedin and still Reb Shimon says you're going to be Potter, must be that it's not like the way Rabbah had answered Abaye. That since ultimately the source is knas, even if there was once some other bedin, that now if he would admit he would be chayiv, it doesn't make a difference, he's still going to be exempt from a karban shvuah. As the Gemara explains, because we learned there in the beginning of that brisim, that the Tanakhama says, Ainli, I would only know that one is chayiv for karen, as we said, the principle, the chaymish, a fifth, and an asham, when he swears falsely and then admits, I would only know for things that you're only paying for the principal. Well, that's mammon, and therefore that's what the pasuk's talking about. So there the chacham say, maybe only over there would we say that you're going to be chayav a karban shvuah. But tashlumi kefil, but a payment of double, which is in certain types of theft, or tashlumi abar b'chamisha, which are specific cases of the sheep, or a large animal when you steal it and then you sell it, or you slaughter it, where you're liable for four or five times the actual theft. Or shamra, or a case of when the man seduces a woman or violates her or spreads false reports about her. Minayin, from where would we know regarding these cases that they're all knas, that even over there, if a man swears falsely, then admits that he's going to be chayav karban shvuah. Tamalema, that's the pasuk teaches over there in Beyikra, Parakei Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which talks about in this parasha, it says, umal amal. That if the person does a wrongdoing, which is essentially the swearing falsely, that he's going to be chayav a karban shvuah, and that is riba. What's the extra, the redundancy of mo'al amal? It's coming to say that not only is it by the case of mammon, but even by case of knas, actually one is going to be chayav a karban shvuah. So that's the opinion of the Rabban. So the Gemara explains, and this is what reinforces Abaye's question on Rabbah. Hey Chidami, what is the case that the Rabbanan are talking about? If it was talking about that they didn't yet have a court case, and on that the Rabbanan are still saying that regarding the case of Knas, you can have a karban shvuah. But how can you have the case? Kfeila mi'ika? They're saying that even by a case of kefil, you can have a karban shvuah. But if you didn't yet have the court case, who said that this guy stole to make a claim of kefil? Kefil is only once the guy stole that you know that there's kefil, but moreover, Rashi says, is that maybe the guy's going to admit, and kefil, since it's a knas, if he admits, he's exempt. So how can you be chayav of a karban shvuah if maybe he's still going to admit, and he's going to still admit, so it's not even mammon yet? Rather, we have to say that it's obvious that the case that Rabbanu is talking about, for all these cases of knas, of kefil, dalvehe, and oins mefata, mitzis shemra, that they hold that even over there, there's going to be a liability of a karban shvuah, is only talking about at least that there was hamada bedin. Again, because then that we know that the guy definitely stole to make him liable for the carbon shvuah. More, we can't admit anymore to be exempt, because once Edom come that there was already hamada bedin, he already cannot come to be maida beknas to be potter. Now, umidereisha mersha amad bedin. So if the reisha, which is the Rabbanon, who they're arguing with Reb Shimon, when they're saying that you're going to be chayiv in these cases, is tomate des hamad bedin. So sefer nami, then it must be the sefer where Reb Shimon is saying that no, I disagree with you that all these cases you're going to be exempt. Is also tomate b'shamad bedin is even talking about that there was already hamad bedin, and still, and this is a biased question on Rabbah, still we see that Reb Shimon considers them as knas. And even though there was Hamad Abedin, now Rashi points out that although the term that Reb Shimon says is Yatsu Elishen Knas, that we see from the common denominator of the Pasuk, it's only things that the source is Mammon, which excludes those things which are Knas, but if we're saying it's talking about that there was Hamad Abedin, then essentially it's not Knas anymore, it's really Mammon, because actually if the person would be Maida at that point, he'd be Chayiv, like Mammon, not Knas, because it was already... has a liability from the Edom in the Hamad Abedin in the court case, the Gemara will answer that it means things that are Ikar in Knas. The source of them, it's Knas, which that is the case by these things, that even though now that we consider them as Mammon, but since primarily they're from a Knas, you're going to be exempt. One thing, again, that Abai is asking is that you see clearly, seemingly from the Braisa, that if the Reisha, which the Rabbanan must be talking about, that there's Hamad Abedin already, because or else there's no kafel, you can't incriminate someone on a carbon shvua if they would be exempt in admitting it, must be that there's Hamad Abedin, and that's when they're saying that then you're going to be chayav a carbon shvua on them. Reb Shimon, who's arguing and saying you're going to be exempt, is talking about even after Hamad Abedin, which is not like the way Rabbah had answered, they're saying that it's considered mammon to be exempt, to be chayav a carbon shvua, whereas here, seemingly, we see Reb Shimon considers it as knas, to be exempt from a carbon shvua, even after Hamad Abedin. So that Amalei, so Rabbah said to Abai, he says, look, Yechilna l'shnuilach, truthfully, I could answer to you that Reisha b'shamad bedin, you're right, the Reisha, which was quoted from the Rabbanan, is talking about that you'll be chayav a carbon shvua when there is a hamad bedin at least, even by these things that the source of them is knas, but after hamad bedin, they're like mammon already. And the seifa b'shalamad bedin, and that the seifa, as I'm saying, is talking about that there wasn't hamad bedin. And those are the things that a person is going to be exempt from them a carbon shvua. And actually, v'kul Reb Shimon, I could say the whole thing is Reb Shimon. There's no chachamim and Reb Shimon. It's all one big statement of Reb Shimon. And there's no contradiction. Because the reisha that says that you're going to be chayiv is talking about after Hamad Abedin, which is like I'm saying. And because that's I say in Reb Shimon, after Hamad Abedin, it is like mammon. And the seifa that says that you're going to be exempt is talking about before Hamad Abedin, where it still has halacha like knas. However, he tells Abaya, "Vishenuy dechiki lemishnei lach." I'm not going to give you what's called a dechik teretz, which is a contrived answer, because Dimkain, if that's what I would answer you, Amartali, you know what you would tell me? Listen, Reisha Reb Shimon Oimer. Let the brisa open up Reb Shimon Oimer, which that would sound like the whole brisa is Reb Shimon. Or listen, Sefer de Reb Shimon. Or let the end of the brisa say that these were the words of Reb Shimon. Why, in the middle of the brisa, does the brisa bring Reb Shimon Oimer in the middle? Seemingly, they would be contrived to say that it's all Reb Shimon if all of it was Reb Shimon, and why would you say it in the middle? It would have to be either in the beginning or at the end. So, Ella, rather, Rabbi concedes to Abai and he says, you're right. Kula b'shamad bedin. Your deek was correct. The entire Bryce is talking about that it was already after an original court case. And v'reisha rabbanan b'sefer Reb Shimon, and the reisha is rabbanan, the sefer Reb Shimon. My dinalach, and I agree to you, le'inu karbon shvur, regarding your original question, regarding a carbon shvua, that according to Reb Shimon, that although that there was already Hamad Abedin, you would not be chayiv on that a carbon shvua. And the truth is, like you proved, because Reb Shimon is saying that what the Rabbanah hold that you're chayiv, Reb Shimon says you're pater, which is already after Hamad Abedin, and still he says, by these halachas, of Ainus and Mafata, and all these cases, that you can be exempt from a carbon shvua. And the reason is because Rachmona pater mevechichish, because the Torah exempts all these cases, which again, we just described of Tashlami Kefal and Dal Vehei and then Smefat and Shema, where their source is Iker is Knas, that we see from the Torah, which it says Vechichesh and talks about all those cases of Pekadoin and Sumisyad, which are all primarily monetary from their source. Those are the cases that you're going to be Chayav and Shavua, not things which are Iker Knas, even after Hamad Abedin. Now, Bavchika Amina, Mom and Havad, that I told you, that after Hamad Abedin, according to Reb Shimon, it's going to be like money. That was for a different halacha. Not for carbon shvua. Carbon shvua, you're always going to be exempt. You're right. But it was lahirisha labana. It was regarding to bequeath it as an inheritance to his sons. And that is if after there was Hamad Abedin, then he died. Even though there wasn't time yet to collect that, it's going to be the brothers and not hers. That is what I was telling you, that according to Rabbi Shimon, that although he considers it as a knas, however, after Amad Bedin, he would agree that it's considered as money if the father dies, even before it was collected, that it's going to go to the brothers and it's not hers. Not that the Gemara says Eisvei, but, and this is where it comes in relation to our sugya. Our Mishnah says similarly not like this. Our Mishnah says clearly, Rabbi Shimon Omer, im loy hispika ligvois ad shemesa av, if let's say there was the case of the Einis and the Mefatim, which generally the payments go to the father. Now, if they already had the court case, but they didn't get a chance yet to collect the money from the violator, and the father died in the interim, so Rabbi Shimon says, harehin shalatzma, this is what he argues under Rabbanan, they hold Hamad Bedin is primary. He goes, no, the collection is primary, and if he dies before the collection, it's not considered yet mammon, so he can't bequeath it to his sons, and therefore goes to har. Now, v'i amrit mammon havel yish labanav. Now, based on your amended explanation now, Rabbah, that you said that it's money, at least after that there's Hamad Bedin to inherit it to his sons. So la'atzma mai, why if there was Hamad Bedin already, but it just wasn't collected, does it go to har? Da'achin bay mahavah, just the way you described Rib Shimon from the Braisa, that it should go to the brothers, not to har. So Amar Rabbah, Rabbah says, Hai milsa kashoy bar Rabbah v'Rav Yosef esrin v'tartan shnin. This was a really good question. And this was a question that Rabbi and Rav Yosef grappled with for 22 years. Those were the years that Rabbi was the Rosh Hashiva, which were for 22 years. Then he died, and then Rav Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva. For Le'ifrik, and this question was not answered and resolved, Ad Yosef Rav Yosef Bereisho Pirka, until Rav Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva, and then he answered that question. And that is, as Rashi explains, that that was a special assistance from heaven, that he should be able to answer it, that it should become a renowned name for answering such a difficult question. The reason being is because Rabbah was sharper. And that's why he was called Eikaharim. He would be able to rip out any mountain in his discussion of halacha. And Rav Yosef was one that just knew a lot. Baal Shmuis, he knew Mishnayis and Bryce. That's why he was called Sinai, because he knew a lot. So to give him a special heavenly assistance, to give him recognition, he answered this very difficult question. And he said as follows. He said, Shani Hasam, Einis and Mefate uniquely is different than all the other cases of Knas. Where, although by other case of Knas, after Amad Bedin, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it is Mammon, Lahirish Labanav, but instant Knas is not going to be until it's actually collected. Because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, V'nosan ho'ish ha'shoichi v'moh la'vi ha'nair chamishim kesem, that the man who laid with her will give to the father of the nair 50 silver coins, that lo'izichsa Torah la'av el mashas nasina. From the word V'nosan, we see that the Torah did not merit to the father this penalty, only from the moment that it was given. And therefore, if he dies before it was given, it was never his to bequeath it to his son, then therefore she'll get it. Now, this that Rabbi had said, that it's considered money to be able to inherit it to his sons after that there was Hamad Bedin, that's Bishar Knossos. That was by other penalties where there the person cannot exempt himself anymore of admitting it. So therefore, it's already considered like mammon, because if you, it's only like a knas. If you made the knas, then you're part to here. If you admitted, you'd already be chayv after you had a mad bedin. So it's already like money, even though it wasn't collected, then the kid inherited to his sons. But this, the Rebbe Shimon says in our Mishnah, clearly not like that. That's only by Einis and Mefata, where it says in the Pasuk, the nas, and that's how Rava explains for Rabba's opinion in Rebbe Shimon, which Rabba himself couldn't answer all these years, and only Rabbi Yosef answered it after Rabba was nifter. Now that the Gemara asks, but Elamiyat, if that's the case, that Oynis and Mefata is different because it says V'nasan, so gabi eved echsiv, so by a slave, which was gored and killed by an ox. Where the Pasuk says in Shemais, Kesef shleishim shkolim yitin ladoinov, that the owner of the ox has to pay to the owner of the slave 30 shkolim. It says yitin ladoinov, he should give to the master. Hachanami leizich satar la'odin el mashas nesina? Are you saying that here also that the Torah did not merit to the master of that slave only for when it was given? So the Gemara says, no, yitein l'chud v'nasin l'chud. The different syntax in the word of giving, both by the slave and of the halacha of the Einis and Mefata, because by a slave, the word yitein, he shall give, is a term of a commandment, and meaning to say that that's always like that. Whereas by Einis and Mefata, the word v'nasan sounds like only something that was already given. So V'nasan tells us only once it was given, then it's the father's. Yitain is that he shall give, meaning from the moment that the commandment starts, then it's already considered the the domain of the owner of the slave, and that's why they're different. It's already considered the owners of the slaves from the moment that a slave dies. In contrast to Einus Mefater, where that's the one unique one, where there it says Venasan only in the past tense. But the Gemara continues asking on this. Ihachi, if it's the case, as we had said before, that the Knas of Einus Mefater is different than all of the Knasses which we're explaining in the opinion of Reb Shimon, that even after the Hamada Bedin, it's not Mamon Lahirish Labano, but that's why, as Reb Shimon says in our Mishnah, it actually will not go to the sons if it's before the actual collection. In contrast to what Rabbah had answered to Abayi regarding other Knosses, that it is Hamamet Lairish Labanov after Hamad Bedin. But then, if that's the case, Tama Loime Vechichesh? Now, why does the Gemara, when it explains the exemption of Reb Shimon from Karban Shvua, so the Bryce explains, in Reb Shimon's opinion, from Vechichesh? Meaning, just like all Knosses, Reb Shimon says that, no, if you want to be chayav a carbon shavu, it has to be similar to all those cases in the pasuk, like tsumas yad, where the ikur, the primacy, the way it starts that obligation, is from mamon, in contrast to all those knasses where they primarily start as knas, even though now, let's say, after Hamad Bedin, they're, let's say, mamon. But the problem is, why would we use v'chichesh to exclude one of those cases, which are einus mefata? You should say that even right now, it's not mamon. Because the Torah says by Einus Mefater Venasan, which is, as we just explained, that the Torah doesn't merit it to the father, to the grieved parties, until it's actually given. Tamalim Venasan Miboile, regarding the case of Einus Mefater, which is one of those cases of all this Knosses, which, yes, regarding the other Knosses, I understand that Reb Shimon had to exclude them from Karban Shua from Echichesh, meaning Echichesh means to say all those cases of Echichesh in the Pasuk, which are those of primacy of Mammon, excluding those cases, which, although now they're Mammon, because it's after Hamad Bedin, but primarily they started off as Knas. Okay, so that will exempt them from Karban Shua. But why do you have to come on to that for Einus Mefater? Because even now they're not Mammon. Even after Hamad Bedin, you said for Einus Mefater, they need to have a Nasan. And since it obviously wasn't given yet, because that's what we're talking about, there's a case of denial over here. If it was given, there's no court case. So why say v'chichesh? Say v'nasan. So Amar Rava, Rava says that you're right. For the primary halach of Einus Mefater, you don't have to come onto v'chichesh to exclude Einus Mefater from Karban Shua. It's just because it wasn't given yet. If it wasn't given yet, so then it's knas. And if it's knas, there's obviously no halacha of v'chichesh b'amisa. Ki itzer v'chichesh, when did we need v'chichesh? Meaning, although the common characteristic to exclude the knas of Einus Mefater, we're to learn it together with all the other knasses that they're exempt because of a chichesh. Again, as we explained, because the primacy is that they're knas, and not to learn from the knas, and forget about primacy is knas, it's even now knas, is kagain, it's a specific case. Sha'amda bedin, where there was already a court case, ubagra, and then the girl became a begeris. Now, the significance of that case is that according to Rabbi Shimon, once she becomes a begeris, it becomes hers. Now, moreover, Rabbi Shimon says that regarding Einus Mefater, the fact of her becoming a begeris, which then becomes hers, where according to the Rabbanan, it's only if she becomes a begeris before Hamad Bedin. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it's still hanging in the balance until there's actual a gavain, until it's actually collected. Now, just like he argues in the Mishnah, if it wasn't collected yet before and the father dies before it's collected, that then it goes to her. Here also, that if they didn't get a chance to collect it and she became a begeris, where the Tanakhama says that then it's going to go to the father, but according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to go to herself. Now, in such a case where they had a mother bedin, but then she becomes a begeris, where it goes to her, because again, begeris removes her from her father's domain, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's still up till it's collected that it's not the father's yet. Now, umesa. And then she dies afterwards. Dehasam kika yaris aviha. Now, then when her father, who's not dead, her father didn't die in this case, there was her mother bedin, and then she became a begeris, so she gets it, then she dies. So her father inherits his daughter. Now, when he inherits it, minadido kiyaris, he's inheriting it from her. Now, when he inherits it from her, it's considered regular full-fledged money, meaning because although it never yet, there was never benasan yet, never came to his hand, but regarding the woman herself, that doesn't make Einus Mefater different than other knosses, meaning from the moment that there's a mother bedin, it's already considered money. It's only regarding the father that says, that for him, it's not considered mumen until he gets it. But regarding the daughter, she's like all other kenasis that from the moment of a mother bedin is like mumen. Therefore, when she dies, the father merits whatever she had. It goes to him. Now, so therefore, from venosin, you could not have exempted the ma'anis in such a case because it's going to go to the son. It's already going to be considered mumen, t'lahirish labanav, because the father, even though it's not venosin yet, it's not gevina, but he inherited from his daughter, who it is mumen. Now, so that's why the Shas, the Gemara, the Braisa had to bring down the pasuk of a chichesh, that since Oynas Mefata is a Kari Knas, that's why he's going to be exempt from a carbon shavu in that case. Because although we said, what do you need v'chichesh for? It's still knas. It's not true. Because in such a case, it's actually already mumen, even though it's only after mother bedin before gevina, because he inherited from his daughter who already made it into mumen. And that's the chiddush that we're saying, even though it's mumen, so now it shares the same characteristic as all those other knases, which after mother bedin are like mumen, but they're still going to be potter because they're not like the cases of a chichesh, which their primacy is mumen, and here their primacy is knas. But the Gemara continues asking, Ihachi, if it's true, if that's the way it is that you're establishing that the case of the Bryce is talking about, that there was already Hamad Bedin, and essentially, if it's after Hamad Bedin, all these cases of, quote, Knas, of Dal Vehei, Kefil, Mitzi Shemra, they're already Mumen. Because if you would admit after that you already had a court case once, that what the guy's claiming you, he's right, you wouldn't be exempt. It's already mumen. Two witnesses already came, already made you liable. So then how could Rabbi Shimon say, Yatsu Elu Shein Knaz, that, oh, the Chichesh will exclude these cases that they're Knaz from a Karban Shvua, put mumen who, they're not Knaz, they're actually mumen. On that, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, he says, as we had been explaining it up until now, Yatsu Elu Shei Karban Knaz. You're right, they're not Knaz anymore, they're mumen, meaning you can't admit to be exempt. But the primacy of the source of their liability is from Knas. So although now they're Mammon, but the Pasuk, all the cases it mentions are things that start off primarily as Mammon, then you'll be Chayav Karban Shavua, not by these cases, although they're Mammon now, but they start off in their primacy as Knas, and therefore you're exempt from Karban Shavua. Now the Gemara continues asking, Eisve. The Gemara asks from that Mishnah Masechta Shavuos that we quote on Amud Aleph. The Mishnah there says that Reb Shimon Paiter, Reb Shimon exempts someone who says loya nasti, it's not true, I did not violate your daughter, I did not seduce her, and he swears falsely, then he admits. So on that, Reb Shimon said, you're going to be exempt from a carbon shvua. The reason he said is because she'eni misham knas al piyatsmai, because you cannot pay a knas based on your own testimony. And therefore, since if he would have admitted, he would be exempt. So therefore now, even when he denied it, he cannot go ahead and mechayev a carbon shvua in such a case. Now, the Gemara asks, sounds like time dula amad bedin. Sounds like because since you didn't yet have the court case. Now, if you didn't have a court case yet, then if he would have admitted, he would have been exempted, which is really what the words mean when Reb Shimon says, because you can't pay a knas on your own admission. So if he had admitted, he would have been exempt. So obviously we see that the reason of Reb Shimon is that since if he would have admitted, he would have been exempt. So therefore, now even when he denies and he swore falsely, you can't be chayiv a carbon shvua in such a case. Now, the problem is that that sounds like only when there was no hamad bedin. Hamad bedin, but regarding when there was already a court case, dimishal ma'piyatsim, where then if a person would admit, he would have to pay based on what he's saying. Because it already turned into mamun. That sounds like carbon shvua, nami michayiv, that then you would also be liable for carbon shvua, even according to Reb Shimon. Now, that refutes what we have been saying up until now, that Reb Shimon holds, as we explained before in the Braisa, that you're going to be exempt from a carbon shvua even after Hamad Bedin. But here it sounds like it. No, it's only because that it's something that if you admitted, you would be exempt. So such a denial, you can't be chayv a carbon shvua, but that's only before Hamad Bedin. Sounds like after Hamad Bedin, where if you admitted, you would be chayv, that you would be chayv a carbon shvua. That refutes what we have been saying up until now, that Reb Shimon holds that you're going to be exempt from a carbon shvua, and it's going to be considered like knas even after Hamad Bedin. So I think my answer is no, it's not difficult from that Mishnah. Because that Mishnah, Reb Shimon ledevreim derabbanan kamalu, what Reb Shimon's statement was he wasn't saying his own statement. He was saying, it was answering even according to your opinion, rabbanan. That is, Lidi, according to me, then Avagav Damad Bedin, even if there really was a court case, still Rachmana Patre, the Torah exempts the person who denied falsely with an oath from a carbon shvuah, as we had been explaining up until now from the Pasuk of Bechichesh Bamisai, where if you look at all the cases mentioned in the Pasuk, are only things that are Ikra and Mammon. And therefore these cases, which although they're now Mammon now, because after Amad Bedin, you're still going to be exempt because the Ikra and is Knas. But what Reb Shimon was saying was, but according to your opinion, fine, you argue on me, but Eidulei Mias at least agree to me, where at least I'm saying it's even when there was Amad Bedin. So good, you want to argue when there was Amad Bedin because then it's already on some level like Mammon, as we had said, let's say, like Harish Labanov. So there you want to say that the person would be Chayav Karban Shavuot, fine. But at least agree to me when there was no Amad Bedin, that when the father of the girl is coming with a claim to the man, Knasa Katava, that he's claiming the penalty. And therefore, as we continue on top of Mem Gemara Alf, we know that if someone admits to a penalty, he's exempt. And therefore, the father that's claiming to this man is only claiming a knas, and on that is what he's swearing falsely. And therefore, if he would admit, he wouldn't pay. So therefore, even when he's denying and swearing falsely, he's not denying a monetary claim, he's denying a penalty claim. And for that, you can't be chayav a karban shvuah. That is what Reb Shimon was saying. But you're right, according to him, it would be even after Amad Bedin that you'd be exempt from a karban shvuah. But the Gemara explains, but Rabban and Sabri, they disagree even on before Hamad Bedin. Because Chikot Tava, it's actually when the father comes to the claim with the man that says, Anasto Besitas Biti, actually Baishas Tabagam Kotava. He's actually claiming, not Knas, he's actually claiming for the embarrassment of his daughter, for the depreciation of his daughter. That's Mammon, even before Hamad Bedin, and therefore that we would be Chayav Karban Shvua even before Hamad Bedin in the case of Anasto Besitas Biti. Now that the Gemara is b'mai kamefik. So what is this machlokes between Reb Shimon and Rabbanan regarding before Hamad Bedin, where in the case of the Rabbanan, Reb Shimon was saying, at least agree to me that the primary claim is Knas, and that you can't be Chayav Karban Shvua, and the Rabbanan was saying, no, the primary claim is the Bayishish Bagam. As we explained previously, that there are at least three in every category of Mefata, there's a Knas element, and there's a Mammon element of Bayishish Bagam. So why do the Rabbanan say the primary claim is the Beish Shabagam, which is Mammon, to be Chayav Karban Shvua even before Amad Bedin? And yet Reb Shimon holds, no, the primary claim is Knas, even, I mean, he says even after Amad Bedin, at least in the Rabban's opinion, that therefore one would be exempt from a Karban Shvua. So I'm a papa, he says, the Reb Shimon sub, Reb Shimon held, Leishavik Inish Medidicates, a person will not leave something which is a set amount, that he knows he's going to get at least a certain amount of 50 kesef, and hence that becomes his primary claim. He's not going to come and claim something that doesn't have a set amount, doesn't know how much he's going to get out of that. It's potluck. Therefore, Reb Shimon says the primary claim is for what he knows is what's called zikr. Zikr, he knows this is 50, this is 50, and that's what he claims on this person. So therefore, he holds the father's primary claim is knas. So if it's before Amad Bedin, the person denies it and swears, well, you can't be chayav karban shvuah and knas. For Rabban Sarvi, they held that no. Leishavik inish midi, that Rabban hold that a person will not leave a claim of something, meaning Boyish Begam, where even if the suspected violator admits to it, he won't be exempt because it's Mammon. And Vitava Midi Dechimoide Be Mifter. A person will not leave Boyish Begam to make a claim for something, meaning the Knas of 50 Kesef, where even if he comes with a claim and says, you did this, and the guy says, yeah, I did it, so what? Now that I admit it, I'm actually exempt. A person will not forego on something that he knows he can get, even if the person admits, to go ahead and stake a claim for the Knas, and therefore that's the Malchik between Reb Shimon and Rabbanan, which is something that a person would make a primary claim. Is it something that is a set amount? That's according to Reb Shimon, and therefore that's the case of Knas. So therefore he says, even according to you, the Rabbanan, at least agree to me before Hamad Bedin that that's Knas, and therefore you can't be Chayav Karban Shvua. Whereas the Rabbanan said, no, a person will not make a claim of Knas, where if the person admits to your claim, he's exempt, and therefore rather they would make on Boyish Shabagam, where if he admits, then he has to pay, and therefore since the primary claim is on Boyish Shabagam, which is Mammon, then before even before Hamad Bedin, it's a claim of Mammon, and therefore they hold that a person would be Chayav, a Karban Shvua, even in this case of Anasta Besitas Biti, because although that there is an element of Knas over there, but that's not the primary claim. The primary claim is the Mammon is part of Beishas Ubagam.